Everybody to the South Jordan Planning Commission meeting for May 23rd, 2023. I'd like to welcome those who have joined us in our auditorium and online, as well as city staff who have come to present this evening and prepared their reports, as well as our commission. We have five of our six members present this evening. So with that, we'll begin. Our first item of business is to approve our agenda as published. I assume everybody's had an opportunity to review that. Do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move to approve the agenda as published.
Thank you, Commissioner Gedge. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Our next item of business is to approve our minutes from our May 9th Planning Commission meeting. Again, I assume everybody's had an opportunity to review those. Any comments? Okay. I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I would like to... I move that we approve the previous meeting's agenda minutes as published in the packet.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Catmull. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Staff, do you have business for us this evening?
I don't think so. We're ready to go with the regular meeting, though.
Okay. I had one request for staff. If it's possible, could it be prepared for us what our education requirement hours are for this year and where we stand as far as attendance to meetings? I believe that there's a minimum meeting requirement to meet one of those hours.
Yep, I can let you know that next at your next meeting. And then, because we keep track of the attendance. And as far as I know, well, so far, I'll have to ask Steve if he's kept track of the exact, you know, we're all, I think all but Commissioner Darby were at the joint meeting last time. And so the other four of you there have at least have 1 hour so far. And then if you meet the attendance requirement, you'll have another one. So we still would probably have to have 2 hours. And I guess that would be something to, we'd like to know maybe what kind of topics you would like for us to discuss with you, and so for those other 2 hours of training. And also I talked to Steve today, and there may be another joint meeting later in the year. So at least if there's a topic you wanted us to talk about for at least one other meeting, though, that would be good to know, and we could prepare for that sometime. Whether it's going to be summer or maybe fall, it just depends on how busy you guys are all during the summer. So we want to make sure we all have a chance to attend it.
Commissioners, be thinking of topics. If something comes to mind by the end of the meeting, we'll touch on that before we close. Otherwise, let's collect those ideas over the next 2 weeks and submit them to staff. I still owed you a report from the city council meeting, the first one of this month, May 2nd. After reviewing that, the only other two items that I think would interest this group is that they did pass the budget for 2023-2024, and then they passed an item that we heard last month concerning the floating zones and the development agreements, where if the city is the applicant, they're eliminating one of the steps, where effectively they're saying, hey, we're the applicant, we don't need to go through all of the same steps. That doesn't make sense. Commissioner Catmull, I believe you went to last week's meeting or listened. Do you have any items that we'd be interested in?
No, I wasn't able to attend in person. I had a family conflict, and the audio is not published yet. So I will report back through email.
And then do we have somebody?
I have the next meeting, but I'll be sending a written report. But if Commissioner Catmull actually reports next time on this last meeting, then we'll
have a cadence.
I can get in person.
Okay. All right. Anything else from the commission?
I will miss the June 27th meeting.
All right.
And I'm out the June 13th.
So Bevins is out the 27th. Gedge is out 13th. I will check with Commissioner Stark to see what his availability is as well. As stated before, just please let me know and staff know as soon as possible if you think you'll miss a meeting to make sure that we've got a quorum.
I have one other item. Just after our last meeting, I drove down Beckstead Lane the next day, and Mr. Simonson, you were correct, and Mr. Nelson was incorrect. There's signs posted along the entire road, both directions, of no parking.
I actually did the same exercise.
So I just wanted to let that know that just in case people are listening and or the people who attended that meeting, that they shouldn't be parking there, and to go through the city's reporting mechanism to report those people who are parked there illegally. So,
okay. Then we will move to our administrative public items this evening. Our first one is the Daybreak Village 12A Plat 1 amended subdivision amendment, and Greg has our staff report.
Thank you. This is it's a plat amendment, Village 12A Plat 1. It's way out on the west side of Daybreak. It doesn't show it on here, but it's just off to the screen to the left would be the Backus Highway. That's how far west this is. This area, there's what's being proposed for the subdivision amendment is to have, there are currently 10 lots in that area and on the plat. None of them have been sold or anything to anybody at this time. And they're proposing to reduce the number of lots to 7 by eliminating lots 177, and 178, 179, and I will. This is what the subdivision, you know, amendment looks like. It's just those that area with 10 lots is now 7, and they will be required to. With this plat, there's an existing P lot, P103, that will be vacated with the recording of this subdivision amendment, and it's. The new location of that is between lots 170 and 171. And that's really all that's changing. They're changing it because the product they want to fit is a larger product that they want to put, and it fits better on the larger lots than it did on the smaller ones.
So, could you tell us what that P lot was for originally? It's very narrow.
It's basically a sidewalk.
Okay.
And it's a sidewalk that we could access from the street out in front on Granberry Drive, between the two lots, and then it goes to the lane behind it. But then you can see another P lot that would look like a P lot. It's another narrow strip coming off, going still continuing south on that. So that for pedestrian purposes, they have a way to get through to the other neighborhoods without going all the way around the block, I guess.
So is it being completely vacated or moved? That's
well, the one that's existing is that is being vacated, but they're recording a new one.
Okay.
In the current in that between the lot 170 and 171.
Okay. Commissioners, questions for staff? Is the applicant present this evening?
I didn't see anybody from Daybreak.
Then at this time, we will open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening and would like to address the commission on this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium. We ask that you please state your name and where you reside for our records, and then you'll have 3 minutes to address the commission and share the information and evidence that you've brought this evening. Is there anyone in the auditorium that would like to address the commission on this topic? Okay. Is there anybody on our Zoom platform? We'll extend the same opportunity to those that have joined us virtually. We just ask that you enable your video and your audio. And again, same conditions as for those that have joined us in person. Please state your name and where you reside for our records and a 3-minute time limit. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody online indicating that they'd like to address the commission, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, any discussion, questions? If not, I'm ready for a motion.
I just want to say I think it's rarity that we actually get bigger lots. So hopefully this is a good first step with other properties. But
I agree. I wish the applicant had been present. I would have liked to ask about the trends that they're seeing in this regard.
But based on that, Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we approve file number PLPLA 20230060 based on the staff report and staff presentation this evening.
Thank you, Commissioner Gedge. We have a motion. Any discussion? All right. I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez?
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
And Commissioner Brewers?
Aye.
All right. This item passes 5-0. Our next item of business is the Harvest Crossing Villas 2 Preliminary Subdivision Amendment. And Miguel has our staff report this evening.
Hello.
Can you hear? Oh, hi, thank you. So this is the Harvest Villas Crossing subdivision amendment. Oh.
Okay, so this
Okay. My apologies. So this is located just off South Jordan Parkway and 3200 West. So this is four lots. This one building is four lots. And essentially, the dimensions were swapped during construction. So this subdivision amendment is attempting to correct that. So lots 209 and 210 were constructed with depths of 60.08 feet, while the recorded plat shows 68.50 feet. And lots 211 and 212 were constructed with depths 68.85 feet. But the recorded plat shows 60.17 feet. So this these four lots are approximately 0.26 acres, and it is zoned RM7 multifamily, and it is in a stable neighborhood land use. Currently, the north, south, and west are a single family 2.5, and the east is commercial, community commercial, and office zone. And then here is the zoning map and the proposed amended subdivision plat. This one. Okay, so then we recommend that the Planning Commission approve the Harvest Crossing Villas 2 subdivision amendment as is shown on the subdivision plat.
Okay, thank you. So it just looks like what was built is not a mirror image, but just flipped from what was planned?
Essentially, yeah.
Okay. And looking at the adjacent properties, it just looks like the two to the east and the two to the west were probably built as intended, but are essentially the same size. So this fits exactly with what else is built in that area, right? Except for the flipping of which lots are
larger. Yeah, essentially the amendment would correct the depth dimensions of the four.
All right, questions from commissioners? Okay, I'm going to open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to comment on this item, we'd invite you to come forward. I should have asked, is the applicant present?
Yeah.
Do you have anything you would like to add to the staff report? Okay, so we'll go back to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium. All right, I'm not seeing interest in the auditorium, so same offer to those that have joined us online. If you would like to speak to this item, we just ask that you use the raise hand feature in Zoom or turn on your camera. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody on that platform either, so we're going to close the public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners?
I have a question.
Sure.
Okay, so I actually really close to this, so I know these have been here for quite a while. I'm just curious how long ago these were built and how something like this was missed in, like, inspections and the construction process. Like, why is it coming now?
I'm not sure the answer to that question. Perhaps the applicant can provide some clarity on that.
They were built about 4 years ago. Why it was missed, I don't know, it's before my time. I'd like to blame that guy right there, but it's actually not even his fault. It was someone else, and they just, when we went to, I'm with Peterson Homes, when we went to build them, the buyer wanted the bigger lots on the south side as opposed to the north. So what we've done to correct that internally is just double check everything. This has come up because the HOA was doing some other work on some of the other things, and so that's what brought it to our attention, and that's why we're here. So, okay.
Just curious. That was yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a question for Mr. Simonson or not. Do we have any liability? That's not even the right word. Any obligation to the owners to make sure they're notified and know, or that things are recorded correctly on their deed?
All that will be taken care of as part of the process.
Okay. Do you agree with your legal opinion that this is just a simple cleanup and you don't have any concerns?
I don't have any other information that would make me disagree with it.
Okay. All right. Commissioners, discussion?
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion if there's no discussion. I move that the Planning Commission approve the Harvest Crossing Villas 2 subdivision amendment, file number PLPLA20230010, as published in tonight's packet and discussed here in this meeting.
Okay, we have a motion from Commissioner Darby. Any discussion, concerns? Okay, I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez, would you lead us in a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
And Commissioner Bettis?
Aye.
Okay, this item passes 5-0. I assume you're Mr. Seaman. I'm sorry you didn't say your name. I appreciate you coming this evening. It always helps to have the applicant present, so thank you for your participation. All right, our final item of business this evening under administrative public hearings is item H3, Park Place Phase 2 Amended Subdivision Amendment. And Demir has our staff report.
Thank you. So this property is located at 1079 Jordan River Drive. The application or the project consists of 4 lots within 2 different subdivision plats. As you can see, 2 of the lots front Jordan River Drive, and then there's a bigger lot behind them. There's also a lot to the east that fronts on Boylestone Court. All of the properties are zoned R-2.5, so the density is 2.5 lots to the acre, and then this is the proposed subdivision plat amendment. With this plat amendment, there's not going to be a change in density, so they're not increasing or decreasing any of the lot sizes. Essentially, they're just moving property lines between the lots. Lot 211 is getting bigger in size. It's going to be over an acre. And then the remaining 3 lots are going to get smaller. The one thing that I do want to mention is that in the report, in your motion, it says that the proposed PU vacation needs to go to City Council for approval. I just got a word that these vacations actually do not need to go to City Council, so they can be just done by a note on the subdivision plat itself. And once it records, the plat records, the easements are vacated. So maybe a little tweak needs to be made to the motion that if you're going to approve it, that you approve it as presented. And then if you're going to include anything with easements, it's just say as per state code. But yeah, there's no change in density. The lot sizes meet the zone requirements, and therefore staff recommends approval of the plat amendment.
Demir, what is the minimum lot size in this zone?
In the R-2.5 zone, it's 12,000 square feet.
Okay. And it sounds like you're amending 2 subdivisions, because this is straddling 2 subdivisions. Are those treated separately when they look at total density? And does making lot 123 and 124, which is part of Park Place 1, ultimately decrease the ability of other owners in that subdivision to subdivide later?
It doesn't. So when this project came forward before the Planning Commission, it was done as 1 Park Place. And then they recorded 3 plats as part of this subdivision, but the initial preliminary plat meets the density requirements. So it would include phase 1, 2, and 3, and I think there's phase 4. So, yeah, it does. Yeah, so.
And so ultimately, by keeping 4 lots and just adjusting the lines, it's not changing the density and the, okay.
The overall density of the subdivision. No. Yeah.
So all 3 are treated together when calculating those numbers. Will you make sure I understand what the access to each of these properties is?
So lots 209 and 210 front on Jordan River Drive. Lot 211, the one that's getting bigger, they have access off Jordan River Drive as well. There's an access easement, I believe. And then 212, obviously fronts Boylestone Court. There's also an access easement alongside 212, but that's for county flood control, for them to go in and if they need to do any maintenance on the creek and so forth.
Will that be paved?
I'm trying to remember. Let me see.
Dude, if you don't know, one of the applicants knows the answer, so...
It seems that they're going to leave it gravel.
Okay. So show me what is paved. Can you... I'm just not sure I'm seeing it.
So it's kind of hard to see on this map, but the reason I didn't include those improvements with this presentation is those improvements were presented in your report for a reference. And it wasn't something to be deciding on tonight. But yeah, basically, a drive coming from the north is going to be paved. But then the maintenance access coming from the east, I believe, is not going to be paved.
Okay.
Does that seem right to you, Shane? When I was saying maintenance access is along here,
mm-hmm.
and then this is the private access to this property.
Okay, and then 212 accesses off of Boylston Court. Okay, thank you. Commissioners, questions for staff?
I just have a clarifying question. So I just want to make sure I'm understanding this right. 123 and 124 are now 209 and 210, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's all. So they moved from phase one to phase two, essentially, is all we did. Okay.
Okay. The applicant is present. Did you have anything you would like to add to the staff report? If you have something you'd like to add to the staff report, are you the applicant?
I'm representing.
That'd be.
Bob Elder with Ensign Engineering representing the applicant. So we had prepared the plat for the project, and so the access road, the plan is to pave it. The access road that comes up from the bottom, lot 212, that's also county maintenance road to service Midas Creek, and then they will pave that also as a secondary access to the lot in the back there, 211. 211. Any other questions?
Questions for the applicant?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, at this time, we're going to open up public comment on this item. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium.
My name is Corey Brady. I reside at 1129 West Jordan River Drive, so I am exactly west of the two lots in question and the paving in question. In the development of this subdivision, that road is now paved for the full length of my property. The road, the elevation was raised, and that road sets level 6 feet above the original level. My concern is with the continuing development here, if they're going to continue to push that on. They've already started to bring in fill across the backside, which means my entire backyard is 6 feet deep. It's becoming a hole. The other concern I have is just in, I don't know that it's very difficult to understand how much smaller the two lots in question are. But, you know, the subdivision that I reside in that abuts this one has a third acre requirement. Those are 2 quarter-acre lots. And by making them even smaller, I'm just concerned about that overall impact. that's all I have.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address the commission on this item? Okay, we're going to go to our Zoom platform. If you would like to address the commission on this item, we just ask that you use the raised hand feature and turn on your camera. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody on Zoom, so we're going to close the public comment and bring it back to the commission and get these concerns answered or at least addressed. Demir, can you comment on the grading and what's allowed and what's there and what the next door neighbor can expect?
So the way, maybe the applicant can address this, but the way the grading works is obviously they'll set the grade as to make it drain in certain directions. So if there's a storm drain somewhere, they may have to make some changes to the property to make it work. As far as city codes, we really don't have much in city codes as far as how much they can raise or not raise the property. And as far as the two lots, they're decreasing by, I think it's around 1,000 square feet each, so not by much.
Demir, will you go over the zoning density that's allowed in this area, how a 2.5 on average targets a certain size, but what the range in lot size is allowed as far as like a minimum?
So the minimum lot size in R-2.5 zone is 12,000 square feet, so that's your minimum. But you also have to meet the density requirement, meaning that some of the lots are going to end up being bigger just because you cannot exceed what the allowed density is. In this case, it's 2.5 lots to the acre. So depending on how much acreage you have and what the density requirement is, it kind of gives you an idea of how many lots you can do in a subdivision.
Okay. So is this akin to a canal easement? I'm not entirely understanding this utility access.
It's not a canal. It's a creek.
Okay.
So it's for them to access the creek in case of any maintenance issues that they need to address or anything that happens with the creek. It's with the county flood control, the maintenance and the responsibility lies. So if they need to go in and do anything to fix it, it will be for them to use.
It's Midas Creek, and it's a flood control channel for that area. So
I have a concern because we've seen utility accesses before that turn into secondary driveways. I thought we had restrictions on residential properties being able to effectively front multiple public roads. Could you help me understand that particular issue?
Lot 211 does not have access or does not have frontage on Boylston. It's from what they're showing on the subdivision plat, it's an easement. So
sure.
The actual property does not front Boylston Court.
So as long as it doesn't front, it can still have a secondary access. The applicant called it a secondary access.
Right.
But that's allowable under our...
The city code talks about double frontage lots and where you can have them and how you get approved for those. Basically, they have to go before you.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it's not a double frontage.
Okay.
They're not, they don't have two street frontages.
Okay. Would they still be required to have the other access built? There's not going to be something that changes later and they say this is good enough and they don't build the second one. Or will they be required to as part of this application?
Not as part of this application, no. This access, again, if you want to speak to that, it's just for the county. I believe it was maybe their requirement to provide that access. So it's something that the county would require.
Okay. But is the city requiring that they provide the access to the Jordan River Drive across lot 209? Will that be part of finalizing the build and the lot and the subdivision?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Commissioners, other questions? Okay.
So, Madam Chair, I have one question. And I just don't know, I'm sorry. Do we have any ordinances around retaining the water on your property? Or so that if there is a large variation in elevations, that one property owner has to retain?
Yeah, our low impact development requirements require that they retain 80% of the storm. And if there's a way to discharge the remainder, they can, but in this case, they'll probably have to retain 100%. So.
Okay, but there's sufficient protection in the code for abutting landowners when there's a significant elevation change.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They need to keep the drainage on their lot. Yeah.
What about retaining dirt? Let's say for some reason the retaining wall fails. Who's responsible?
I guess the owner of the wall is responsible for the failure of the failure of the wall. So
is that the county? I'm sorry to interrupt. This is an easement to a culvert that runs.
Point of order.
So yeah, point of order. If the applicant would like to come and ask this question, we would permit that, or the applicant's representative. I'll ask the question. So, is this the county that maintains this, or is it the property owner on lot 212?
I believe it's the property owner that needs to maintain it.
Seen any language that tells us that the county would be responsible for any maintenance. It's just for them to be able to access the creek.
The creek.
And this might be for our Mr. Simonson, but if something went to that, that would become a civil matter between the two adjoining the two properties for resolution, correct?
Basically, every property owner has the duty of retaining stormwater on their property. Unless an ordinance or a specific situation arises that is legally recorded. So I can't see that the county would be involved in this in any way. And you're right, it would be something that the neighbors need to take care of between themselves. No rolling of eyes.
I'm not rolling my eyes. I've never rolled my eyes at you. I'm pondering.
I'm sorry, I was out of order. Point of order raised on me.
I might be confused. Where are these retaining walls supposed to be going?
There no retaining wall? We were told that the grading was...
I don't think... There was any mention of the grading, but one of the attachments shows, it shows improvements on the property, and then
which property?
A couple of retaining walls around the home itself.
Which property?
211. It's in the staff report.
So I don't know, there's the 212, that driveway in 212 is not adjacent to this gentleman's property. He's concerned more about the property because he lives directly west of lots, whatever, the 211 and 2 and the 209 or something, that one.
West,
he lives west of them and is concerned about that height, how high those are. And there's nothing being constructed around the Midas Creek that I can see on there, and it's just that access from Boylston Court for the county to access, so if they have to do maintenance in the creek, they have to, whatever they have to do to make sure that it can handle the flood water or storm drain water that run off.
So the difference in grading would then be on the western side coming off of Jordan River Drive, right?
Right.
Okay.
And that would be a private lane that those property owners would be required to maintain.
Correct.
I do have a question. So on, I don't know which map I'm looking at, but on the map that's got the red outline, it says subject property. Can we flip back to that one? The aerial map. Sorry, I should have just scrolled down. Okay, so when I zoom in on this, it looks like that road is already paved. So my question is, do we know when this aerial was taken? Like, has that road been paved for a long time and it's always been up, the grade been built up, or when was that, like...
Jordan River Drive?
It seems that
coming off
this image was taken in 21.
Okay, so it looks like that road's been there for quite a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who owns the property just west of that, behind the homes, like that central property? Is that a county-owned property for Midas Creek? It's
the vacant piece?
Yeah, the vacant piece.
Well, the creek runs directly through that.
Right, so who owns that?
I assume the county.
This piece, the mayor.
Thank you, yes.
Are you looking at that additional lot, 201?
I don't know what lot it is, I'm sorry. Just a minute.
What's this property?
It does not have a number.
It is lot 201,
okay.
As Shane said, of that subdivision. So, will that be accessed also from that private driveway?
That's correct.
Okay. Oh, okay, and that is a private property owner. Okay.
And they would have to hard pipe that. Obviously, this has no bearing on what we're talking about, but they'd have to hard pipe that creek through that entire lot to build on it, right? Basically, it sits in the middle of that building envelope is what it looks like.
Yeah, the creek is along the south side of those properties, those lots, 201 and so forth, 211.
And it will not be piped. It'll be left open. It's Midas Creek is left open through several subdivisions through there, and through Parkway Palisades and a lot of subdivisions.
So it's just piped across a portion of this one that we're looking at tonight, then?
I believe.
Okay. Looks like it goes under and then comes
actually,
back out.
It may. Does it go? Is it piped anywhere, Shane? I think it goes. As soon as it gets up to lot 212, it turns south, doesn't it? The creek goes directly south, almost directly south, and runs along the backs of those other lots.
Yeah, along the backs of 204 and 205?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And I...
Has any structure been built on lot 211 yet?
I think it's being constructed now.
Okay. Can you, so in our report, and I don't think we've seen this picture up there yet, there are two long grid pieces in between the pool and the detached garage. I guess one on each side of the detached garage. Can you tell us what that is?
It's on C100 of your plans. It looks like
the builder is raising his hand.
Oh, okay. If you know, you'd be welcome at the podium to explain.
Again, Bob Elder with Enzyme Engineering. Yeah, I can clarify a lot of things that were asked here fairly quickly. The two long grids that you see there, those are LID structures that are going below grade to pick up the stormwater from the development. So that's what's happened there. As far as the road that the neighbor was talking about, that drive access has been built previously with the adjoining subdivision, and that's been sitting there for a little while. The homeowner on lot 211, that's currently being constructed. The lot line that sits between the 209 and 210 It was moved approximately 10 feet to the north is where that adjustment was made. And then essentially this access road as part of Midas Creek and working with the county to maintain, there's a large pipe section of Midas Creek that runs along the property of lot 211 and 212. And so one of the agreements was is to provide an access to their structures and to Midas Creek that sits further west. There is an intercepting channel that comes diagonally to this lot to the west. You can't necessarily see it on this plan, but that intercepts Midas Creek. And as far as a neighbor, I believe his property, and you could share, but I think his will eventually drain back to the south, and then the water goes into that creek.
Is that correct? Also, right now, that
we can't have conversation that doesn't happen at the podium because otherwise it doesn't get picked up for our records.
Excuse me. So it was in looking at it, there's a channel that comes through the property to the west, the existing lot 201, and the property that was brought up before, I believe, drains to the south into that drainage. So that continued path, when lot 201 gets built, will need to be ensured that it continues to provide a drainage from his lot. As far as the other question regarding the road, the private drive that runs along the west property line, there's a large, like 36-inch sanitary sewer main that sewers the South Valley and drains this way across this property. And so that access road that runs along to these two lots that are being serviced, that runs along the west, was controlled a little bit by the grade of that sewer. And that's why there's kind of a ridge up there. If you were to go there, you'd see the ridge. And that was really a fill over that sewer pipe to get the cover. So we had to respect and maintain the sewer that was there.
Okay. Are there parking spots?
There are. He's planned to put parking spots up on that west side for visitors. Actually, the property owner owns lot 201. 211, 212, 209, and 210. So he owns all five lots.
Okay. Is the detached garage, will it have a kitchen?
I don't know that. Demir, have you seen the plans?
I can't recall.
Okay. I think my question is actually for staff. Is an accessory unit like this allowed? Its square footage is equal to that of the main structure, as shown.
I know we had these conversations before. You said, I don't know if it was you or maybe
Josh Guerra was there,
that he would relay the information to the architect, but I don't think that I've seen any plans for the detached garage yet to come through. But yeah, they can't have any detached accessory dwelling units in this zone.
Okay, I guess when we make our motion, if we say as presented, we're going to, I mean, you've said you haven't seen plans, but our staff report shows a basic floor plan and some square footage and definitely some sort of a sink, which is why I asked about a kitchen.
You have a floor plan?
Sort of. And it listed square footage on slide page 36 of our staff report. Page 36 and 37 are...
It's actually on the landscape plan, Demir.
They're all the same to me, I'm sorry. Couldn't have told you it was a landscape plan.
The L1.2. You can see there's a kind of a floor plan in that garage that shows... It's pretty small, but it does show some sort of like sink.
Some kind of bathroom or sink, yeah.
It's hard to tell.
We do have a sewer that goes out from that building to sewer that building.
I guess when we get a building permit for that particular building, then we'll review it. And if it shows a bedroom, a bathroom, and a kitchen, then it will be determined an ADU, and they will not be allowed to have one of those features. So, because that cannot have a guest house in that zone.
So. Are they allowed a detached building of this size that matches the square footage of the main structure in this zone? I guess I thought that wasn't permitted either.
I think it's 60% is what's allowed in the R25 zone.
60% is approved by staff, and anything over 60% would come to you.
Okay, so we're going to see this again, is what you're telling me, potentially.
If it's over 60%, you will see that, okay. Too.
And for my benefit, as well as those who have joined us, we are only approving where the lot lines fall tonight. We're not approving anything that's built on it.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And it might be best if in your motion, then it's also, like you said, not to say as presented, because maybe it's best to say as presented on one particular page, because you're not approving that landscape plan. You're not approving any of those things tonight. Shouldn't have to be approving those. Those are the items that are approved by the city engineer. So,
okay. But. Commissioners, while we have the applicant up here, are there additional questions or the applicant's representative? Okay, thank you so much.
Mr. Paulus, before the applicant's representative sits down, would you mind if I asked him a couple of questions to clarify some things that he said? I'm still not understanding some of this drainage. And in particular, because you use the term, I believe. When somebody tells me, I believe, that's saying to me that you don't really know. Are you prepared to tell us that everything that you've represented about the drainage tonight is something that you know is going to happen, or maybe you just have a vague belief?
Yeah, without spending a little more time in the drawings, having worked on the engineering of the plans, in my mind, what I remember is the ground and the way it falls and knowing where the drainage goes. And so based on my remembrance of the site plan and the grading and working through it personally, but without specifically going back and look at the drawings, that is based on my understanding.
So, are you offering testimony before the Planning Commission tonight that the drainage on this revised subdivision is going to meet the city requirements as we've heard from our engineer?
Well, as each of the projects gets developed, the drainage will be managed on site per the requirements of the city and the drainage engineer. In specific, in reference to how the property adjacent is draining, that was the information I was sharing, that how it, I believe, drains currently based on my previous working around the property. However, without looking specifically at the contours of his specific lot, I can't say 100% for sure, but that's my belief based on my experience.
Okay, and then we had a neighbor come up here and say that his concern about ongoing grading is putting him in a hole. So as we discuss drainage, I think that's probably what's concerning everybody, is that he's in a hole. And I've not been out to the property, and so I have a hard time envisioning exactly how deep this hole is. Do you agree that the grading that's taking place on the property is putting the neighbor in a hole?
In relationship to, this is the first I've heard of this comment that came before us today. I know where the road was built in relationship to his property. On his east and this property on the west, as we get back to his back corner, I think the road was built up a couple feet higher, and there was a retaining wall built near his property line on that very south corner, that where the road was being raised a little bit at that corner. as far as that being raised and that putting him in the hole. The property, because of the sewer that comes across there, creates a dam. And so I think, if I understand it correctly, and he can correct me on this, is that dam creates the water pushing back on his property. And I don't know if he's had any drainage issues, and we can ask him, but I believe his property drains to the south, and that the building up of the private drive along his east property line doesn't create, the road's being built up, but it's not creating a dam for his water to flow. I think his water flows south, and he could correct me. I think.
Commissioners?
Go ahead. You're in charge.
Thanks. Commissioners, do I have a motion to potentially amend our rules for this evening to allow the neighbor an opportunity to come and answer the question that's been posed?
My only concern, not being in favor of that, is this whole discussion is pertinent towards the application that's in front of us this evening, or would it be answered and addressed in a further application before the commission? And have substantial evidence been presented to us based on the question being raised by the applicant? I haven't seen any pictures, any evidence that it is 6 feet or anything. So it's just his testimony. So I'm not in favor, but I'm only one vote out of five.
That is fair. Further discussion?
I tend to agree with Commissioner Gedge. Okay. We're voting on property lines, not on any of that stuff, so I would encourage that conversation to happen outside of this meeting between the applicant group and the neighbors.
Staff, if we see this item again to approve a site plan, I would like it to be included grading and slopes of the properties in the area so that we will be aware of how water flows in this region. But I would also like to note, and our engineer can back me up on this, that the applicant has stated that everything will be developed in accordance to our Sydney ordinances with regards to water retention and handling, and that city staff does go on site and verify that after construction happens. Demir, is that you?
One thing to add. So this application is not going to be, we're not going to be adding any public improvements. So all of the public improvements for the subdivision have been done with previous phases. So essentially, we're just moving property lines with this application. So no improvements are going to take place. There's going to be some private improvements on the property itself, but that's been taken care of with the building permit we issued. So the drainage and grading issues, those are things that we already looked at with the building permit for the home.
And does the city go on site after the finishing of building to verify that
they've all been met? Inspectors would go out and verify on those things.
So an inspection will occur on this property?
That, and we require the contractor to submit an engineer grading letter that he testify, you know, the builder testifies that the grading per approved plan has been done accordingly, so.
Okay.
Mike, can I ask a question? Based on that grading, obviously we know the permit is already in, this is already under construction. So the grading plan was already approved, and amending the lot lines, is the building permit currently in based on the amended lot lines, or is it based on what the property was prior to amending this? And does that change anything based on their approved and engineered grading plans?
It doesn't change for Title 17 planning and zoning because the property is getting bigger, so it's only going to increase setbacks from adjoining property lines.
Sure.
So in our case, it doesn't change anything, but as far as drainage or grading, I don't think it would change anything either. I'm not sure.
It's not going to change the grading and the drainage on it.
Okay, but now that we've changed the lot line, when we do the final, like, inspection, their lot shape is different. So do they have to have amended plans approved now that their lot is different? Because what we approved is based on the previous lot? Or are we just approving this and then their current building plans go as is and we'll get new building plans for anything else they put on the lot that was not previously apportioned?
Once this is approved, they can go ahead and submit an updated site plan.
Okay.
For the building permit,
which okay.
will reflect what you're approving here.
Perfect.
Along those lines, I am assuming that during the final inspection, that's when it really counts. And we try through the building permit process. We issue a building permit. We don't approve it. It's not like there's some certain steps that go through it. My understanding is then we're just trying to get out in front, help people so that when the final inspection, when everything happens, you're not at risk of having to take down or do major changes to a property recently developed. Is that a fair assumption that it's still... We do everything we can to get out in front of that. And this conversation is part of that tonight, plus with other things.
Yes. That's correct. When they submit for a building permit, they also have to submit a grading plan as well that's reviewed by our engineering department. And then, as stated, when they're all finished, then the because that grading plan is part of the building permit application. So when they're all finished, then we don't necessarily have our engineers inspecting it, but we get a signed letter from an engineer saying that what's on site now matches what was approved by the city when they issued the building permit. And so if it turns out that it's not in some point, then it's his license, and he's the one that'll have to that has the responsibility. Why didn't he? You know, whoever that engineer is, they have to, or if the property owner themselves changed the grade, then they're the ones will be liable. So this has happened. That's the way our code has been written for the last few years, because we've had all kinds of issues with grading throughout the history of South Jordan, where people just change the grade on, and then all of a sudden. The city gets blamed, and the city is not liable for anything after this. After we approve it, if they build something differently, then whoever built it or changes the grade, they're the ones that are liable for any drainage issues after that.
And so, if you know, after we issue a building permit, and then the property lines change, do we do a review? Does that go through a re-review, like, for example, on setbacks and everything else? Help me understand that part of the process.
I don't know if just changing the property line changed the grade anyway.
Yeah, so. It probably wouldn't change the grade, but I'm just thinking from in general, like, does that trigger another look at the building permit for compliance?
I think they have to do another building permit for the pool and the detached building. Those haven't been issued, but they will potentially be applied for once we change property lines.
For those, yeah, the house plan is under construction. They're not going to re-review it. It's been issued. So
I missed that.
How I understood the staff report. Demir, if I'm wrong, you better speak up. That additional building permits will be requested for the pool and the detached garage.
Yeah.
Okay.
I missed that. Thank you.
So this discussion has confused me more than helped me. As I understand it, I understood Mr. Drozdik to say that we will be back for site plan review. Did I not understand that? You correct me on that? Okay.
That was me if required.
No.
Okay, so we're under construction. What building permit has been issued so far? Has it been issued just for the house, or has it been issued for these other, the pool and the detached garage?
Just for the house.
And am I to understand then that the grading permit required by the engineer's office or the plan that was submitted, going to Commissioner Bevin's questions that she was answering or asking, is that going to be updated? Or is that just going to say, this is just going to be the same as before?
Yeah, the grading is not changing with this subdivision plat amendment. So the grading will remain the same as it was presented with the building permit application, right?
Well, so when the pool and the detached garage comes back forth for a permit, we will have modified the grading to facilitate the pool and the clubhouse, and then those will merge with the building of the home, and then we'll submit one plan that will reflect both.
So if I understand it, then the grading will change.
Yes, to accommodate the building going in there, the garage.
And, yes. And is it your understanding that when the grading does change, that you will need to submit another grading plan at that time?
That will come with the, yes, with the permit. Package will come in with the grading, the drainage, the site plan. All those will be submitted to the planning for review and engineering for review before that permit's issued.
That's all I have.
Can I ask Mr. Simonson? I have a question. So would we be in order to, in our motion, require that they submit a new site and grading plan for the entire amended plot once it's recorded?
I defer to the engineers on whether they're going to require that or not.
We're just going to require a grading plan for the additional permits for the detached garage and the pool.
So will that consider what's in place on the rest of the property?
Correct. Okay. Correct. In conjunction with the building grading. Yeah.
Great. Any other questions for, okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Anything for staff?
Question?
Just, okay, please.
No, I'm good with questions.
Oh. Any further questions?
Just to a potential motion, there's been some discussion of what we should be including, what we should not be including, references to various items in the packet. The easements, anything vacated as per state law, not to be specific, but obviously with the discussion that we've just had about the various things that have been presented this evening on the site plans that we've seen, what are we actually, I think ultimately it's just a lot line adjustment, but what needs to be entailed in that motion so we are not over approving anything. That's just we want to limit it to just what I think what we're in agreement on. I don't want to over allow it through a motion.
I would say, according to what we see in our staff report on page 35, that we're adjusting lot lines according to the map shown on page 35 only, that we're not approving a site plan, building permit.
I want to be as narrow as possible. Usually we're more robust, but to be as narrow as possible is my recommendation.
And potentially saying and still meeting all easement ordinance, whatever requirements, as stated by city law.
Without regard to any buildings that may or may not exist on the property.
Agreed.
So I think as we look at this, like the term in the recommended motion does involve the term amended subdivision, which does have meaning inside city code in 16. And so I think there's one level of protection there. And if we want to, and because we say we're only approving the amended subdivision, we're not approving anything else. And then I also like, if we want to put that page number, it's page 35.
Mm-hmm.
We want to put that, that's fine. I think that could be an extra protection. And then it feels like to me, like the state code, I'm just saying like all public utility easements.
Take a crack at it, Steve.
You want me to?
Is there any, before that, any further discussion or concerns?
No.
Okay.
I don't know after your attempt at the minutes. to do a recommend. But just
joking. I'm looking to come back. I'm looking for practice again. All right, Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
Please.
I move that the Planning Commission approve the Park Place Phase 2 amended subdivision, file number PLPLA20210036, as presented tonight, or as presented in the packet on page 35, and that it is subject to all utility easements consistent with Utah State Code.
In the City of South Jordan Code?
In the City of South Jordan.
Could we amend it to say both state and city?
Oh, state and city. Yeah. So you would like to amend? I'll amend the motion. I'll amend the motion. Do we need to?
Do we have a second for the amendment? Does that require?
No,
a second?
Haven't had a second to the original, so you don't have to have a second to the amendment.
Okay.
There's your Robert's Rules of Order.
Thank you. So we keep you around. You keep us.
Sorry, I'm on the commission.
All right. We have an amendment. I'm sorry. We have a motion with an amendment in that form. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, so we have Commissioner Catmull's motion with Commissioner Hollis's amendment, seconded by Commissioner Gedge. Have we captured everything we need to there?
There is one.
You and Ms. Valdez agree. Okay, can we get a roll call vote, please? Okay, so Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Because you did the final. Okay. Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Aye.
Okay. This passes 5-0. I'd like to thank both the applicant's representative and members from the community for participating this evening. That gave us a lot to consider and some good discussion, and we learn every time we find a new item to discuss. We learn more about our ordinances and our code, and I hope that helps us make more informed and better decisions. So thank you for your participation this evening. All right, that concludes our administrative public hearings. We don't have any business listed under legislative. So staff, any additional business this evening? Greg's going to answer the question before I ask it.
It's for the next meeting. I did not look at it, but I don't think there. Do you have anything to hear? I don't think
it's still 3 weeks out, so you may not know.
Yeah, it's.
I have three items, and I think there's two other items, so maybe five total.
They may not all be on there, because I think there's a couple of daybreak ones that I keep having to move because they're not ready
that's,
yet.
That's without daybreak.
Oh, without daybreak? Okay. Wow.
We'll kick off June with busy.
So which one of you is not going to be here in that meeting?
That guy.
Commissioner Gedge is the lucky one.
Because
it might be long then. But, the only other thing is when you have any items that you would like us to training on, just you can email me or Greg or even Steve, whoever, just let us know. So we can prepare for that.
Sounds like a good plan. Commissioners, if you think of new items.
I thought of one during this meeting.
Let's hear it.
What would be acceptable forms of evidence testimony to accept to help for our consideration if we think that there are detriments or reasons to object to the staff recommendations or to impose conditions or to a denial?
Allowable mitigations.
So.
And I know you've trained us on that, but we could use it again.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we protect the city as well from that. So that would just be one item I thought of during this evening.
One specific question for you. You may remember at the last meeting, you had a resident in front of you on a conditional use permit for her yard, but she also had a variance application going on. And it's never been the Planning Commission's job to really get into variances, but you might want to know more about them, what the criteria are for obtaining a variance and so forth. So.
I would actually like that because your letter that you wrote was interesting, even though it didn't relate to what we could rule on.
Yeah.
I I think it might also potentially be good for us to learn more about our landscaping requirements and potentially start moving towards identifying drought-tolerant, water-friendly landscaping, because I think we're going to be needing to make recommendations to city council and adopting some updated ordinances in the near future.
We have recently adopted a water-efficient landscaping ordinance.
The park strip?
For residential front yards and front and side street side yards. It was in 2021, and we're enforcing that now and reviewing. In fact, I had a half an hour conversation with a new resident that was getting his new home landscaped, and he was so confused that I was confused by the end of our conversation. Those would be good things. We can go over that ordinance as well. And the city has adopted plant types and guidelines for our collector street park strips. And so there are those
plants. Even though they're not in compliance near my house, continue.
Yeah. we have adopted, and we have a list of plants that are appropriate for park strips, and technically residents can use those as well. Residential park strips are not allowed to have turf if they replace it at all, either are the park strips. Collector ones are not allowed turf either anymore. So when they, but you, but the same condition is that 50% of the park strip needs to be covered with a live plant material. When it's mature, it needs to cover 50% of the park strip, and the tree canopy doesn't count. So
do the weeds. Do the weeds. Because that's all that's growing near.
They're
mine.
Not supposed to.
So I'm going to say this because the matter has been decided and voted upon. But when you come down to, okay, what's credible evidence? You need to think a little bit like a lawyer. I've had the chance to question, cross-examine hundreds of engineers, contractors, other experts. And what we heard tonight was just, I mean, I'm not saying it changed the vote, but it was just terrible testimony. You come up here and say, well, I believe this. Well, that's just hedging because he doesn't know. And under cross-examination, he's not going to know. And what did he say under cross-examination? He said, well, I got to go look at the papers, okay? He really didn't know the answers to the questions, and you'll become pretty adept at listening to what people say, and if they answer your questions, they'll be able to point. I'm saying this because here's the drawing, and here's how it's been issued, and here's why we were issued a permit. And but I understand the argument, and I actually support it. Hey, we're only here for a lot line adjustment tonight. But I find out that a permit's already been issued, and I've already got a neighbor that is concerned that they're going to be in a hole. I want to find out whether there's going to be a change in the grading as part of this lot line adjustment. And he needed to be able to answer that. He needed to be able to give you a definitive answer. And I don't easily rip on people, but tonight he didn't do his job. He wasn't prepared to do his job. Now, I'm not saying your vote was incorrect. I'm not saying that at all. I mean, I think based on the evidence that you had, you made the decision that you needed to make. But I'm just telling you, since you brought up, I'd like to know what's good evidence and what's not. Well, tonight you saw crappy evidence by somebody that should have been prepared. Now, from a citizen down the street, that's about the best evidence you're going to get. But when somebody comes represented by an engineer, a lawyer, a professional, they need to be able to answer your questions on that. I thought your questions were outstanding, by the way, particularly Commissioner Bevins. She got right to what was really important on asking, you know, whether there's going to be a separate permit, you know, what's, you know, when somebody says it's already under construction and now we're going to adjust the lot line, that's a pretty unique situation, and she was out asking outstanding questions. You all were.
There's 15 minutes of your training right there.
So noted.
I'm documenting it because I need that.
Okay. And actually, Commissioner Bevins and I have had this discussion, I think, with regards to the landscaping question that you had, but a lot of claims were made that night. And after the fact, we discussed where are the pictures, where's the documentation about bus stops, and so is that something that we can require? Like you commented, when citizens show up, they often don't bring any level of evidence beyond feelings, concerns that could happen, which we know aren't allowable to act on.
I think that questions, even when you grant something, there's sometimes lessons to be learned and lessons to be taught by the questions you're asking. I mean, most of these people come in and they have a positive recommendation from staff, and they figure they're going to be granted, and most of them are, and bless their hearts, but sometimes somebody, you know, they're out there still talking, and there's a reason they're still talking, because this neighbor is going to be in a hole, you know, and a lot of times you can't do anything about that, and I don't think you probably could have done too much about it tonight, but my questions were to say, hey, you know, take care of this guy. Take care of the neighbor. He's sitting here saying you changed the grade. Last time you did this, and I'm afraid you're going to change it again. And he probably deserved, I think you made the right vote, deserved to get a positive recommendation. But he's got, it's not your job to answer the neighbor's questions. It's his job. And he wasn't doing it. So that's, as you can tell, I kind of got ripped tonight because he was not doing his job. And he was not, you know, in my opinion. We have outstanding engineers in the city. The city's engineers would have been here and would have known how to answer all those questions. But here he comes, and then, you know, he said a few other things near the end that I just couldn't believe that he was saying, you know, I'll have to check this and I'll have to check that, and at the end he'll get an engineer's report, and Greg's saying he'll have to sign a letter. It's all too lax. He's got to understand this, especially when a neighbor comes and talks the way he just talked tonight.
So then do we table things?
Table?
Do we start table? Yeah. You tend to caution us against that because it, and I understand why, a citizen comes and spends an hour sitting here waiting to get to their item. They don't want to come again to hear the resolution.
I think you voted the way that you needed to vote tonight, but I got concerned when I heard that, okay, number one, it's under construction already, and then the grading plan's going to be approved, and then, or it's been approved, and then somebody said, and I'm sure I'm forgetting some things, but somebody said, no, it'll just be the same grade when he does these other things, and the next thing I heard was, no, the engineer says, no, the grade's going to change, you know. So the city at that point is thinking the grade's going to stay the same. And I'm, again, this is a lot line adjustment, and so you had to vote the way you did and so forth. But I sat there and thought, God, I wonder if there's a way that we can move that Cindy provides a link when this comes up again, so that the link takes you back to the discussion that was had on this matter. And that's too much to be going over in a meeting like this. But I don't know if this matter will be before you again. But if it is, I think we'll see the same neighbor here, and we'll have the same concerns expressed. And what I would like to hear from the engineer and the applicant at that time is, we've sat down with the neighbor, we've shown him the drawings. There's not going to be further raising of the grade. It's not going to affect the drainage. In fact, it's going to improve the drainage, and so it doesn't run onto his property. And then the property owner comes up, and the neighbor comes up and says, yeah, that's all exactly right. That's exactly what he's done and said, and I feel much better about it. So we'll, you know, I don't see any scenario that this is going to be back before you. I don't think that they have to do a separate site plan.
They want that detached garage. We'll be seeing them.
What's that?
If they want the detached garage as big as they put it.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I think you're right about that.
And it was the same footprint.
Yeah, you're right about that. So anyway, that, again, sorry to take so much time, but I just wanted to point out, you know, the kind of evidence. I mean, when these people come before you, they, you know, a lot of times it is just fluff. You know, it's just, I heard that there was an accident 3 years ago, and I'm concerned there's going to be more traffic and all that stuff. And we know, but when you get somebody that's an engineer in front of you representing an applicant, and you're asking the kinds of questions that an engineer ought to know, what we heard tonight was really bad. It was just poor testimony, and I want to help you recognize that for when you see it in the future.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Simonson. I think that gives us a good list to start with, and if 20 minutes of training, right? You'll note that for Stephen, right? Okay. All right.
Round up.
If you 30 hour. If anybody else thinks of items, please.
What's that?
If you think of any other items, please email them in the next couple of weeks, and we'll get that list going. Yep. Okay. Anything else, commissioners? All right. Then I will move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.